Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 3, Episode 4. Dave, the Steelers are getting close to playing some real football. It's maybe not real football in everybody's mind, but it's certainly real football in Mike Tomlin's mind, and certainly real football for a lot of guys trying to make the Steelers roster. The Steelers go to Philadelphia, travel tomorrow, and 7:30 Thursday, they kick it off.
Yeah, and today I guess you'll be heading up there, Mike Tomlin. I guess, quote-unquote, first pregame press conference of the year today. I guess that's at noontime, so we'll have some information about that a little bit later in the show. But, yeah, it's about that time. We had a depth chart released yesterday, and, of course, preseason football kicked off Sunday night with the Saints and the Cardinals there. So my wife told me she can tell football season's close because I'm looking like a homeless man.
Fantastic. Yeah, Tomlin's press conference today will be after the morning practice. There's not a designated time for it. I'll be up there, and we'll have that on the second half of this podcast. I will also be on, for anybody who catches this early, I'll be on 2 to 4 on 970 ESPN doing the Steelers training camp show, and then 6 to 8 tonight on FM News Talk 104.7 with Tom Bradley. So, Dave, the thing that I guess...
Hey, let me interject real quick. I like when you get Tom Bradley talking those X's and O's. So
yeah, I do too.
Keep after him on that. That's fun. That's fun to listen to.
Yeah, hopefully people are hearing that. He had some interesting stuff talking about press coverage and how that works and what Dick LeBeau is thinking about in the different defenses. So we'll try to get on some of that again this evening. Dave, the most noteworthy thing yesterday is that with every team in the NFL, a full slate of games this week starting Thursday, everybody was required to release their depth chart. The Steelers released it two deep. And I guess the notable things just that jump out to you right away is none of the five guys on the PUP list were listed on the depth chart, so no James Harrison or Casey Hampton or the three other guys. Mike Wallace, even though obviously he's not in camp, was listed as the number one wide receiver. I found that a little bit surprising. And then I think as you go through the list, as you said to me off air before we got on, it's really just based on seniority because we know Mike Adams has taken over apparently as the first team left tackle ahead of Trey Essex, but Trey was still listed first on the list. Sean Spence, the third round pick out of Miami, wasn't even listed on the two deep at linebacker. So I'm not sure there's a lot to read into this.
Yeah, when I went through this, it reminds me every year why I don't look forward to Mike Tomlin depth charts because of that very reason. Now, if memory serves me, Bill Cowher's were a little bit more believable. But, you know, when you follow these reports along like guys like you and all the media reporting out of practice and you start comparing them up to this depth chart, yesterday I was like, oh, this is another one of those just throw it out there. You know, based on experience type things, because as you said, you have Mike Adams currently behind Trey Essex at left tackle when we all know good and well Mike Adams has been taking the first team reps there. They also still have Kelvin Beachum listed as the third team left tackle. Now, I suppose that could very well happen in the game Thursday night. But Beachum, you know, it's been publicized that Beachum's been kicked inside the left guard. You know, as far as that goes.
Taking reps at both positions, tackle and guard.
And I believe isn't Chris Scott taking reps at left tackle as well, too? Hasn't that been spotted?
Yep, he's been, you know, Chris Scott has been the guy in camp who has probably been the most under-the-radar guy who was, you know, he's just not in anybody's conversation. He's not on anybody's 53-man. He hasn't made an impression, good or bad. He's just kind of the forgotten guy.
And he's going to be forgotten in a few more weeks here, that's for sure, in my opinion. But when you look at these wide receivers, even, David, down on the depth chart here, you've got Marquise Mays behind, bringing up the rear, you know, on one side of the wide receiver spot. You have Tony Clemens, if not for the late add of Paul Cox to the roster there, he would have been last on that list. I find it hard to believe that that is in any other order outside of the experience factor, because Jamar Stewart and David Gilreath, both are guys that were signed as futures guys this past offseason, both had, quote-unquote, I guess, that year experience underneath their belt there. So, you know, there's nothing to be read in here. You know, you mentioned Sean Spence, too, behind Morty Ivey at inside linebacker here. We all know Morty Ivey's, you know, really been taking a lot of reps both inside and outside as far as that goes. So, yeah, I think the only thing truthful on this list is the punt and kick returners. Manuel Sanders followed by Chris Rainey, followed by Antonio Brown. I think that's the only thing that we can find as useful information from this.
Yeah, that's it. There's probably not a lot more to say. If I get a chance, I'm going to talk to Mike about that briefly, but I'm not sure it's even worth wasting a question on, because
don't have him roll his eyes on you.
Yeah, it's pretty self-evident that it's not particularly meaningful. So I don't know that there's a lot more to say. We'll look at the reps today. The Steelers probably try to get good work in today, because Sunday they had to go down to their practice facility. I know this has been hashed and rehashed, and I felt like I've talked about it a lot, talked about it for 2 hours yesterday. But for those who don't know, the Steelers didn't get to practice outside on Sunday. They had they've had bad weather in Latrobe, but they've been dancing around it, and it really hasn't affected what they've been able to get done until Sunday. And Sunday morning, the forecast was so bad with thunder and lightning storms and heavy rain, they didn't want to tear up the field. So they, in the morning, decided to move the practice down to their indoor facility on the south side. And, you know, they bus down, they have the practice, they bus back. They had a power outage for 15 minutes that actually caused them a little bit of a problem as well. But they got their work done, but it's not exactly the same working in that facility. So with yesterday off, I'm sure they'll try to get a lot done today and have a very spirited, good practice. And I imagine they will, but it'll be worth watching. And then Wednesday is a travel day. Thursday, a 7:30 kickoff in Philadelphia, and Friday is a travel day back. So they'll be back at it over the weekend. But I would think today's practice will be significant just in terms of getting guys focused for actually playing a real game on Thursday. And I'm sure the spirits will be high.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess what, you know, division of labor, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, I guess they really won't decide that until probably tomorrow, I guess. But it's not like they go into a lot of game planning for a preseason game. You know, everything mostly on offense is probably going to be scripted for the most part until maybe a two-minute offense or something like that, you know, just to test out in you know, before the end of the half and late in the game. But even then, I'd be surprised how much of that gets put in for this week. But let's look at it this way. How much do you think Ben Roethlisberger plays? I mean, this is a guy that stated on the other day that he's gonna practice today on that ankle after having the last 2 days off. What, do you play him a series or two and then yanking?
Yeah, I'd actually, you know, if I were coaching a team, I'd play him two series. If the first series goes 10 plays, maybe you just play him one. But I'd like him to get, you know, 7 to 10 snaps. So depending on how the series go, you know, you feel like they're going to come out and run the ball the first three plays. So you'd like to see him get a first down. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure they won't. I'm sure Ben will get to throw the ball a couple times. So we'll see how it goes. But, yes, I don't expect him to play into the second quarter.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thinking a lot of runs and maybe two passes on some three-step drops. That would be at max. So I'm with you. No more than 10 plays on that. And, of course, now if he doesn't work today with that ankle, all bets are off. Then they might very well sit him. But I think today's a key day. I think if he's out there working fully, which I think everybody expects he will be today, then go ahead and play him for those first 10 snaps or so and then get him out of there. But, you know, one guy that and I want to ask you about this. Mike Byers had a report in the Beaver County Times, I believe it was yesterday morning, about some quotes that Ben had and more specifically about David DeCastro. And Ben evidently, you know, let's face it, DeCastro's not lighting up camp. You know, it's not like we've been hearing these reports, though, that he's been beaten on every play. But, you know, he's having his struggles here. And Ben evidently talked to him to ask him how he was doing and had DeCastro evaluate himself. And DeCastro said that, you know, it's tough. And Ben asked him, you know, is it the mental or the physical that he's having the problems with? And DeCastro said, it's the mental part that I got. It's the physical part that's a lot tougher, and basically stated, these guys are really good. And I wrote about this yesterday morning. You know, I've got to admit, David, I had DeCastro, as did a lot of people, as a plug-and-play. As soon as we drafted this kid the first round, this kid, automatically the starter first week in Denver. I'm willing to back off that a little bit now. You know, of course, it is early. We still have four preseason games to go, and Ramon Foster is reportedly having a very nice camp to begin with. Maybe he's going to go the route of Alan Faneca, and maybe it's going to be about four or five games before he gets in there at right guard.
Yeah, I think people are jumping the gun on that. I think everybody did, as you say. You and I both had him plug and play day one, maybe, you know, day one of the preseason games even. And he's not going to start Thursday against the Eagles, but look, I think he's going to start. I think they're going to get this process underway, and the fact that he struggles is probably good. It means his head, his focus is in there. The fact that he talked to Ben about it, as you said, maybe he didn't expect Ben to go take to the media.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you about, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's fine. The good thing is Ramon Foster has looked pretty good, but the ceiling of David DeCastro is higher. I think he's going to start on day one. You know what? I'm coming around to the fact that I think Mike Adams is going to start on day one. I think if Max is back before the Indianapolis game and Adams falters, Max will be the guy. But if Adams is going to get a fair number of snaps here in this game, and so they'll get something on tape with him here, and he'll get a lot of snaps in Indianapolis. Look, and if he's making progress and all things are even, he's going to get the start. They have Max. If he has some bad moments, they can always turn to Max as the guy. But, you know, if he goes out and impresses in these first two games, it's going to make it a little tougher for Max since he's getting a late start.
If you would have told me a couple of weeks ago, or before these guys reported to camp that Mike Adams was looking more like starter ready, 13, 14 days into camp, and DeCastro was struggling physically with the NFL, I would have made you put your money out on the table, David. I think you agree with that too.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. No question.
But you know, it is early, though. It's so hard to read into so many of these things when they haven't played a preseason game yet. And, there's time for DeCastro still to win this spot and to get used to the speed and the strength of the NFL here. I don't think it's the speed he's having to struggle with. I think he's just, kind of getting an awakening that, hey, this isn't the Pac-12 here. And, I think the guy's going to be fine on the move. That's one of his specialties on running at G power. Not time to be headed towards the bridges yet, but I found those comments, pretty intriguing. And I think I found it even more intriguing that Ben Roethlisberger is going around, letting people know about him. I'm glad we had the information, but I'm not glad the way we got it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think DeCastro is peeved by any of that.
If I'm telling my quarterback that, what I probably think is in quiet, then he's going to go tell the media after that, I do have a problem with that, David.
We're speculating on DeCastro's mindset. So, fact is he hasn't been all that accessible, and Ben is readily accessible. So, maybe it's Ben's way of just making it easier on the guy, just being honest about things. So I'm not saying DeCastro would or wouldn't have said it to the media. I just say I don't know, and I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think DeCastro's walking around upset about it.
No, I'm not either, but it's just one of those things, and I'm not on the anti-Ben rant here, because I've got an article coming up here in just a minute on Steelers Depot that's praising him, especially when it relates to what he's offered to do for the organization with Mike Wallace. As far as he's talked to him several times. Ron Cook called him out right after Ron Cook of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette called him out right upon the team getting to camp, saying that Ben needs to intervene and talk to Wallace and all like that, and Ben already had. And so I've got that coming up on Steelers Depot here that several quotes by Ben stating that, hey, I tried to help out here with Mike Wallace. So for those of you that think I'm I'm getting on Ben because of the comments made by DeCastro. I'm just looking at this from both sides of it, and you know, I get on Ben when I think he needs it, and I praise him when I think he deserves it as well. So, what else we got, David?
We got Plexico. Plexico is always in the news, and look, let's be. I'll eat some crow in the sense that last year I thought there was zero chance the Steelers would look to sign Plexico. I didn't even think they'd give him a second thought. It turns out they did. They brought him to camp, and our boy Mark Caballi was one of the guys who said it was a done deal. And you know, Mark will be the first to tell you he thought it was a done deal. You know, they didn't think Plex would be able to get out of camp without a contract signed. Well, turns out didn't happen. The Jets offered more money. The Jets offered him $3 million last year, and he had 45 catches, 612 yards, 8 TDs. Production a little bit front half loaded, if I remember correctly. One of our listeners, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, I have mixed thoughts about this. Plex is going to turn 35 on Sunday, and I've generally been against it. But I'm not against it because Plex is a bad guy. Look, Plex was probably not the best guy, but a lot of things have happened. He served his time in jail, and I think it's a little bit different thing. And I think if he comes into that Steeler clubhouse, that locker room, things, I don't expect him to be a problem. I think he will be a guy who fits in nicely. He's a red zone target is how I would view him as a fourth receiver. Ben would like to have him. And, you know, I'm not as opposed to the idea as I was last year, to believe it or not. But to get down to it, I'd like to see him on the practice field. I guess my thought would be that he's just not good enough at this point. Maybe he's lost most of his speed. He's still got his height, obviously, but that's why I look at him as a red zone target. So is he more valuable than as a fourth guy than a Tony Clements? And how much, again, is he going to cost? Now, if it's $1 million, should you roll the dice? Yeah, maybe even with Mike Wallace, you should even think about rolling the dice. But if it's $2.5 million or something like that, it's going to be a lot harder for the Steelers to get him under the cap. But then, Dave, I guess what I'd come back to you with, or not only what are your thoughts, but wouldn't you want to wait until maybe after the Buffalo game to make this decision in terms of how it affects your cap space and everything else?
Absolutely. And, you know, Ed Bouchette has something. I wrote about Plexico on Sunday based on something that Ed had in kind of his in the insider on the PG Plus about throwing the name of Plexico. I believe he threw the name of Kevin Curtis out there as well, too, in that piece of his. And, I put up there that I think the only way to Plexico comes back to Pittsburgh is out of desperation. And like you said, it's not going to happen until late in the preseason either. They would have to be convinced, first of all, that Mike Wallace is indeed not going to report until six weeks left in the regular season. That's for starters. B, I think you'd almost have to have another injury of sorts, a hamstring or something like that, you know, something that would, you know, diminish your depth even more at the position, in my opinion. I wrote that Plexico's going to want too much money. And look, why would Plexico come in and take the NFL minimum right now for his accrued seasons when all these injuries take place every week around the NFL? You know, every week a receiver of some sorts is going to have a hamstring pop or possibly a knee or something like that that's going to hold him out at least a couple of weeks, if not more. Then he gets his $1 million plus, you know, that way. The Steelers do not need to tie up any cap money in him right now unless they absolutely need to. And Bouchette, like I said this morning, has it out there that Plexico wants too much money. Well, duh. I mean, this guy has got a tax bill still, I believe. Probably got a lot of child support stuff going on. I think I'd read with some of as far as that goes. So, you know, this guy is not coming in anytime soon. And, you know, he used the Steelers last year, if you ask me. He had a chance to come back to Pittsburgh last year. I think he kind of used them as leverage against San Francisco and the Jets, who he ultimately signed with. And I'm not sure how kindly they took to that. So I'm with you. I don't think it happens. I titled it in my post, the only way it happens is out of desperation. And the Steelers are nowhere close to being desperate right now.
Yeah, and I'm with you. We've talked about there hasn't been a standout fourth or fifth wide receiver guy. But, you know, it's early in camp. And I think again, you know, the guys you mentioned, whether it comes down to the Steelers' seventh-round pick or if it's Marquise Mays, or, you know, these are, you know, Tony Clements is the leader in the clubhouse. Derek Williams, I think, is a dark horse, and Marquise Mays is even more of a dark horse. But there are guys out there, and Galraith is another guy that's probably worth keeping an eye on.
What about, you know, if it got down to it, why wouldn't you bring in somebody like an Arnez Battleback that you know at least is going to be – you know, solid.
Well, the question is, do you want him to be a wide receiver or a special teams guy? I mean, I'd certainly take Plex over on his battle for the same amount of money if Mike Wallace is not in camp for his receiving skills.
Yeah, but, I mean, Plex is not going to give you anything on special teams, though, and he's always got that back as an issue as well,
Mike Wallace isn't giving you anything on special teams either, so I don't, you know, it's not. I think it's a wash there, so.
Who's not going to? Oh, you mean Mike? Mike Wallace not going to? Yeah, Mike Wallace not going to give you anything on special teams. But I think if you're going to go ahead and fill that spot, you might as well go dual purpose with it. That a guy that can at least come in and play wide receiver for you, and probably one of the better special teams players in the league in Arnez Battle. That's just the way I think I would look at things.
Yep. Okay, Dave. I guess in terms of other things, let's just before we take you and I take a quick break. And I get up there and we come back and talk about Mike Tomlin's press conference. Let's just go over the injury situation as we sit here, you know, going into the first game.
Well, we've got the guys on the PUP list, and that hasn't changed. The only one that's come off of that since the start of camp is DeMond Cromartie-Smith. So none of that has changed. As far as we've got Ben with the ankle, I believe he should practice today. I would think Willie Colon's going to practice today. As well, Jeremy Capineau's probably not with that back. He seems to be the biggest mystery right now. And Tomlin, I think, categorized him week to week.
Yeah, he said all the injured guys were day to day except the PUP guys. And then he threw Capineau's as week to week as well.
And outside of that, you know, I think Curtis Brown had to miss a little bit of left practice on, what was it, Sunday? With some knee discomfort, so I would suspect he would be back today. I'm trying to think who else. Ryan Baker and Brandon Johnson evidently were back at practice, I think, with ankles on Saturday, but we don't have or Sunday, I should say, we don't have complete confirmation on that. Isaac Redman was back with his groin. Lamar Woodley, I believe, practiced fully the other day inside there. That's another guy. And look, I would expect Lamar Woodley to play Thursday, you know, regardless of what happens with him at practice this week. And I'm trying to think who else, David. I think it's pretty thin injury-wise. I think they're a fairly healthy group right now at this point of the training camp.
Yeah, I have to agree. As I say, the news out of training camp without before the games and anything is just – the only big news coming out of camp is when somebody signs like Antonio Brown, or somebody gets hurt badly like Chris Gokong of the Browns, and he's out for the year with a ruptured Achilles tendon. So almost it's no news is good news. And we saw some real football on Sunday night. Did you have any take on the replacement refs?
No. The one thing that I saw is on that one long punt that was downed at the one or whatnot, I thought,
they missed that call.
Yeah, they missed that call there. And then the holding in the end zone there early on, I thought that was the safety there that they missed. But outside of that, I know there's a report out there about a few things that they did wrong. But, you know, overall, I was okay with it.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't watch all that much of the game. Yeah, no issues so far.
But there, I mean, you know, there's, I mean, every week there's going to be something going forward here on these guys. So, in the end run, I think they get something worked out with the referees and have them in there by week one.
I do too, and you know, there's going to be the veteran, all the NFL head coaches are going to try to intimidate these guys. So it's going to be if you got high school 1AA refs coming in there reffing NFL games. I can't believe it's going to happen, but. We'll see. All right, Dave, let's take a break, and we'll pick things up after Mike Tomlin talks to us around 11:45, 12 o'clock. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. Dave and I took a little break to hear what Mike Tomlin had to say in his pregame presser, the Tuesday presser before the Thursday first preseason game against the Eagles, Dave. And I guess what people are going to take as the big news is that the two rookies, Mike Adams and David DeCastro, are going to get the start. We have seen now that maybe Adams has moved ahead of Trey Essex, despite what the depth chart they released yesterday might say, and he'll get the start at left tackle. And really, DeCastro kind of gets the start at right guard a little bit by default, because we've been told Willie Colon is not going to play in that game. He's going to make sure that ankle fully recovers, and they're going to flip Ramon Foster from the right guard to the left guard. So the news, and what will be entertaining for fans, is they'll get a chance to watch both the first and second round draft picks start the first preseason game.
And correct me if I'm wrong, David, but even though he said the starters will play a first couple of series, he did not indicate specifically that Roethlisberger would play. Is that correct?
I think Ben will play. I think it was understood that Ben will play. He didn't say it specifically, but I've talked to Ben, you know, I've seen Ben speak to a group of guys he expects to be playing.
Yeah, and, you know, that'll give him a chance. You know, he'll get at best two series in that, as to be expected. And, you know, as you said, Willie Colon in that ankle still dinged up. Ramon Foster will play over there at left guard. That's not too surprising there. One interesting thing that Ben said earlier today in an interview that I listened to is that Ramon Foster, he thinks in his mind, Ramon Foster and Trey Essex both have great camps. That being said, as we mentioned in the first part when looking at the depth chart, you cannot read anything into what that first depth chart says. So I thought another interesting note point that Tomlin made today was that David Johnson, you know, starting next week, I think he said will not be exclusively used as a fullback. He noted how David Johnson's experience at the tight end position and all. Is something that they're looking into, you know, from a flexibility standpoint. And this raises a question. I kind of brought this up. It was either on one of our recent shows or on one of the nightly recaps. Does this open up the possibility that both Will Johnson and David Johnson make the 53-man roster?
Well, Dave, that's what I just tweeted that, as a matter of fact. And I think that's probably is the most interesting thing that came out of the press conference is David Johnson has talked as if he is going to be exclusively a fullback, and apparently that's not going to be the case. He's going to get work at tight end. Now, Mike has said, you know, we don't view him as exclusively a fullback. I used him in the backs on backers drill, and after Thursday's game, you'll see him work more with the tight end. So the answer is, I don't know if that's you know, the death knell for Jamie McCoy, and maybe says something about Leonard Pope. Certainly the suspension with Wesley Saunders is something they have to take into account. And David Paulson's maybe taking it for the practice squad. So if I'm going to read tea leaves out of this, I think it's that Will Johnson has had a very good camp. And if you're going to go in a fullback is going to be part of your roster, you can't just have one. Because if a guy gets hurt and it's part of your game plan, you can't just do it with one. You need to have at least one backup. It's like, it's too significant a position in their offense, apparently. So this does spell really good news for Will Johnson. I think it's the first we've talked about this and really thought they could both make the team. But that's how I'm going to read it here. And with Wesley Saunders starting the season on the reserve suspended list, I think you'll see both these guys make it and Pope. And then they'll make a decision when Saunders comes back, whether maybe Pope or Will Johnson is the odd guy out. Now, that's a lot of speculation there, but it changes how I'm viewing the roster right now.
The thing about Pope, and I've said all along, you know, people don't watch tape on this guy. He's not the blocker everybody thinks that he is. And
Important thing is, though, you know, Todd Haley's had him in his last two spots, so he knows what type of player he is.
Yeah, but, you know, they brought in David Gilmore last year, and he had – previously worked with Bruce Arians before and was a kind of the reason I believe that he was brought in. He did not make the 53. Here's another thing to tag onto that. Keeping Leonard Pope out of training camp, being a veteran, his salary is guaranteed for the year. So right. So you have to keep that in mind in the decision-making process. If you're keeping Leonard Pope out of training camp and on the 53-man roster, it's with the intentions of keeping him for the entire season, in my mind.
Well, right, but as you've said, that we're talking about 800 or 900, not to dismiss it completely, but we're not talking about a big number.
Right, but anything helps, of course. And there's always the only $65,000 worth of dead money associated with the signing bonus there. But it's just something that plays in. I'm not going to say that's the course of action, but when you have to put all this information into the pile here when determining this, and with Saunders only missing 3 games, although be it 4-week suspension. Makes you kind of wonder how that's all going to play together, because I'm with you. Fans want David Johnson off this roster so bad they can taste it. But the fact of the matter is
David Johnson's on the roster. That's a done deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's on the roster, and people got to understand why. And Tomlin pretty much clarified that for everybody today, and that's the fact that David Johnson has worked as a fullback, as an inline tight end, and he's not going to go to the Pro Bowl on his play by any stretch of the imagination, but he is accomplished in both positions, and even though he wasn't listed as a fullback, he played. I've got the stats somewhere of how many snaps he took at the fullback position last year. And albeit not great, he was effective in certain situations. When you take out the one play in Baltimore to open up, I think the second half last year where he just blew his assignment there. But he's not a guy that's going to be a threat pass catching by any stretch of the imagination. But when you look at the roster and look at the depth, I'm with you. David Johnson's on this roster.
Yep. So we'll see how this plays out. We'll see how he gets the snaps. I just think now. The Steelers are maybe more comfortable with their offense. I'll go back to the fact that I really don't understand why they didn't bring another fullback in, a truer fullback in, to compete for this job if the reality is David Johnson is going to be the starter at fullback, but they want to have depth, so Will Johnson might make the team, and they can look at David Johnson also as position versatility. I do think Leonard Pope makes the roster on day one. That's been pretty clear here at camp that he's going to be a guy who makes the team. And then the question will be when Wes Saunders comes back. And Dave, maybe you can clear this up for me. I actually thought it was a 4-game suspension, not a 4-week suspension. So
4-week suspension, 3 games, 4 game checks, four weeks worth of checks, 3 games is my understanding.
Okay. We'll both double check that. I didn't know. And actually, when I ask Kevin Colbert, I'll see him later today. I'll just double check with that. But then they'll have a decision to make, and probably you can't carry Saunders, Leonard Pope, and Will Johnson. Assuming that David Johnson and Heath are already on the team, that's probably – you could. I guess you could. I don't want to say you can't, but that might be a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're going to keep.
Maybe Dave, maybe they only go 4 receivers and Chris Rady, and that special team spot comes somewhere else. Maybe Chris Rady's thought of. Well, we'll get into this and we'll know more. We're just rank speculation isn't the best stuff in the world, even though it's fun. But it's a piece of news out of that we didn't have before.
And do we know what the Cam Hayward injury is? I don't think.
Yeah, I just looked at that myself. I'll pursue that and try to tweet something about that this afternoon, but it was not disclosed. Unfortunately, I walked into the press conference a minute and a half after it started, so I didn't know what had been asked, so I didn't want to repeat a question, but don't know the answer to that.
And on top of it, we know that Chris Rainey will get first crack at punt returns.
No surprise there. No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise in the first preseason game. They know what they have in Emmanuel Sanders. And I think Gilreth and Marquise Mays will actually get shots out there later as the game goes. He also said that Jared Johnson, the fourth-string quarterback, will get an extended look in the second half of the game. That's not too surprising there. This and next week will be the only real time that they get a chance to see what they have game action-wise in Jared Johnson. So, I'm excited to see that. You've reported that you like what you've seen as far as his arm goes in training camp and all. So, that's a smart move there.
Yeah, big boy, big arm. Let's see what he has. We've talked about, the Steelers don't need a developmental guy. I think we both assume that Jared Johnson's just going to end up getting cut. But who knows? Maybe he goes out and shows something. I'm sure that what he has done in the film room and in the meeting room is going to be important in this, and obviously we don't have a lot of feedback on that.
The interesting thing to watch, too, with the Cam Hayward injury is now after Brett Keisel exits the game, who's going to come in at right defensive end there. Corbin Bryant, looking back at my participation charts from last preseason, he lined up exclusively on the left side, and then the one game that he played the five snaps against Arizona this past year when he was on the active roster, he worked at left defensive end as well. So we could see Corbin Bryant over there on the right side. That's one thing to look for. And your boy Jake Stoller, your Yale boy Jake Stoller, possibly going to get some snaps over on that side, along with I'm going to let you pronounce Ike's name, Igapanusum.
Ike today.
Ike too.
You know, Dave, I showed my technological skills this afternoon. I had a great 10-minute conversation with Jake, which, of course, I thought I was taping and managed to not do that. So I was going to bring that on the afternoon show. Now I got to go tell him that maybe I'm not as smart as he is, and we got to do the interview again if he's gracious enough and if I have time. But, you and I know about technological failures doing this podcast, and they're no fun.
Absolutely. Stuff like that's going to happen. I think Tomlin also said today, Casey Hampton, no decision has been made in regard to him starting the season on PUP. And that's to be expected. Still a couple of weeks out here. One thing, Kevin Colbert was on Trib Live Radio talking after the Mike Tomlin press conference. He addressed Rashard Mendenhall, and, you know, this is not new news here, but, you know, he's going to start the season on PUP as expected there. So he also briefly kind of touched on the Plaxico Burress rumor, saying that it's a lot harder to bring a guy in who has not taken part in the off-season program. Look, you know, this thing, because it's newsworthy, because all the major media is going to jump on this with Plaxico and the rumors, as we stated at the top of the show, David, the only way this happens is out of a desperation-type situation. Another thing that I found interesting, too, in Ben's talks with some of the media this morning, is he talked with Mike Wallace as recently as his birthday a few days ago, and Ben still sounds pretty confident that he'll have Mike Wallace in camp in the facility or with the team prior to the start of the regular season. So read into that what you will, which we all will. Until it happens, though, you know, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't see it happening. So we'll keep abreast of that. Dave, so not a lot else. The Steelers will come out here on the field about 2 hours for their afternoon practice. I'll be live on 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio from 2 to 4, 6 to 8 at Bulldogs here in Latrobe with Tom Bradley. But anything else you want to – we'll get to some of these emails next week. We've got a couple more, and appreciate people sending them in, telling us where they are, some good stuff, and a few more donations, which are always appreciated. Any other points that you want to hit on?
Yeah, we're scheduled to have Tim Benz from 105.90X on the wrap-up podcast tonight. So make sure everybody stays tuned for that. Tim, of course, does the post-game stuff work as well for the radio station and all, and that's always entertaining to listen to. And I've kind of asked Tim specifically if he'll kind of watch Ziggy Hood today if he gets a chance. So that'll be a talking point tonight in the wrap-up podcast as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you can follow Dave at SteelersDepot.com. You can follow me at HammerSpeaks. I'll be tweeting the second half of practice today when I'm off the air. Appreciate the donations. We'll follow up on those. Thank you so much. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.